Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Say it with meaning. Say it with passion. Say it with joy and excitement that He is risen. The great covenant that God has cut with us. Hallelujah. God is the God of covenants. And today I'll just talk a little bit about the covenant. There's a lot of things about covenant in the Bible. There's a lot of stories about men cutting covenant with God. But this covenant that He cut with us was the most important one. That was the covenant to end all covenants. Hallelujah. No other covenant can come after the blood of Jesus. No other covenant can come after the cross of Calvary. Hallelujah. Are you with me? Are you excited? Hallelujah. This is the day you and I are here. This is why we're here. This is why we do church. This is why we come together and worship and praise Him and exalt Him and see the lives of people transformed. This is why we do what we do. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, I'm excited. There's no other day that I'm excited than today, because it is the day that Jesus raised from the dead, broke the sting of death. Hallelujah. Oh, death, where is your sting? Where is your sting right now? There is no sting of death anymore in our lives. Amen. If you have given your heart to Jesus Christ, if you have confessed your sins, if you believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, then death has no power over you. Hallelujah. No power, because you know why? He died on that cross and He raised again. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. As we celebrate the Resurrection Sunday, we remember the covenant that God cut with us. The Bible is so full of promises. Amen. Covenant of God and man, that God always talks about covenant. Hallelujah. I believe so much in the covenant because it reminds both parties of promises between each other to never, never go against the covenant they cut. For example, the marriage covenant, the covenant of husband and wife, till death do us apart. Hallelujah. That is a strong statement. And yet the world doesn't believe in this. But we should believe in this. That when we cut covenant with each other, it means a lot more than just a word that comes out of your mouth. Hallelujah. When I cut, you know, the reason why I'm still here in this church, the reason why I'm standing behind this pulpit, is because I went to Pastor Bill's house and cut covenant with him. And broke bread with him. And wept with him. And said, no matter what, brother, no matter what, one of us is still going to go and do this. No matter what, that whatever the vision of the church that you have planted, we will still run with it. I made that covenant with him. And I made that covenant with Pastor Joe. And I made that covenant with Janet. And I made that covenant with the music team. I said, no matter what, we must continue the work that God has started in this church. Amen. There is no stopping. There is no resting. There is no resting until He comes back to take us home. Amen. Hallelujah. One great example of covenant was between David and Jonathan. And I'm going to bring two stories this morning. And one of them is between David, King David, and Jonathan. And Jonathan was the son of Saul, King Saul at the time. And if you read in 1 Samuel chapter 18, verse 1, it's the story of Jonathan and David cutting covenant together. Now, this wasn't a blood covenant. This was an exchange of possession, but also speaking it in the presence of the Holy Spirit. Hallelujah. That's why Jesus said, let your yes be yes and your no be no. Don't put anything else on top of your yes and your no. Don't use God's name in vain by saying, yes, I'll do this. If you promise something, if you covenant with someone, then do it. You don't need anything else to come beyond. Your word is law enough. Your word is power enough. We don't have to sign a contract. The world is full of contracts, but you and I, our words should be based on covenant between Jesus and us. Amen? Hallelujah. When Jonathan cut the covenant with David, and in verse 1 of chapter 18, it says, as soon as he had finished speaking, we pick up the story there, speaking to Saul, the soul of Jonathan, the Bible says the soul of Jonathan was knit to the soul of David. Jonathan loved him as his own soul, and Saul, his father, took him that day and would not let him return to his father's house. Then Jonathan made a covenant with David because he loved him as his own soul. Hallelujah. The Bible says, and his soul needed. It means they were in one mind, one soul, and one spirit. Hallelujah. Because he loved him as his own soul. And Jonathan stripped himself of the robe that was on him and gave it to David, and his armor, and even his sword, and his bow, and his belt. The Bible says that Jonathan's soul was knitted to David's soul. Their soul was connected. In other words, they became one soul. Hallelujah. By giving David his royal robe, his armor, his sword, and his bow, and his belt, Jonathan was giving authority as a succession to his father's throne. After Saul died, David became the king that day. In a couple of years' time, David became king. Years passed after King Saul and Jonathan and all of Saul's family have died, and David became king. He remembered, hallelujah, he remembered a covenant that he had cut with his friend Jonathan and wanted to show kindness to Jonathan's house. And this is the covenant between David and Jonathan. 2 Samuel chapter 9, verse 1. And David said, "Is there anyone still left of the house of Saul that I may show kindness for Jonathan's sake?" The key word is "for Jonathan's sake." He says, "I want to see if there's anybody alive still in the house of Saul that I may show kindness," remembering the covenant that he had cut with Jonathan. Now there was a servant of the house of Saul whose name was Ziba. And they called him to David, and the king said to him, "Are you Ziba?" And he said, "I am your servant." Verse 3, and the king said, "Is there not still someone of the house of Saul that I may show kindness of God to him?" Ziba said to the king, "There is still a son of Jonathan. He is a cripple, is crippled in his feet." The king said to him, "Where is he?" And Ziba said to the king, "He is in the house of Machir, the son of Amiel, at Lodiba." Lodiba is in Hebrew meaning it means people that have nothing. It's like a place of outcasts. The people have no value, nothing whatsoever. The leftovers, as we call them, that are all staying at this place called Lodiba. When King David sent and brought him from the house of Machir, the son of Amiel, at Lodiba, Mephibosheth is the son of Jonathan. We call him Meph for short. Meph was the son of Jonathan. And one of the servants said, "There is still one person left, and it's the son of Jonathan, and he's a cripple." And he says, "Bring him over to me." See, Meph, in his mind, was thinking that, oh no, this is the end of me. Because during the time of Saul, my grandfather, when he was king, he was going after David's life every time. He was jealous of David. He was always trying to kill David. And the person that was always with him, saving his life, was Jonathan. And so young Meph thought, this is the end of me, because Dave is now taking revenge. Because in the old ancient days, when the king takes over, he gets rid of everything that is connected to the previous king. And so young Meph came to the house of David, very scared. And David says, and in verse 6, as we take it from there, and Mephibosheth, the son of Jonathan, son of Saul, came to David and fell on his face and paid homage. And David said, "Mephibosheth," he answered, "Behold, I'm your servant." And David said to him, "Do not fear, for I will show your kindness. I will show you kindness for the sake of your father, Jonathan. And I will restore you all the land of Saul, your father, and you shall eat at my table always." Hallelujah. Now listen to the reply that the young Meph says. He says, and he paid homage and says, "What is your servant that you should show regard for a dead dog such as I?" Then King David called Ziba, Saul's servant, and said to him, "All that belonged to Saul and to all his house, and I have given to your master's grandson, and you, your sons, your servants shall till the land for him and shall bring in the produce, that your master's grandson may have bread to eat. But Mephibosheth, your master's grandson, shall eat at my table." David, young Meph says, "Who am I? I'm just a dead dog." David says, "Meph, it is not because of you that I'm doing this, but it is because of the covenant that I've cut with your father, Jonathan. You are just inheriting the blessings that came from this covenant that I've cut with your father. It is not about you, Meph. It is about your father. I am remembering the covenant that I've cut with your father." Hallelujah. Isn't it a type of Jesus? Isn't it a type of what Jesus has done on the cross for us? Everything about the story in the Bible points us to the cross of Calvary. Hallelujah. David says, it's not about you. See, covenant reminds you and I of our responsibility to the people that we cut covenant with. Even if it's their family and their grandson. If you cut covenant with someone and they've passed away and there's only one person left in the family, the covenant holds you together. Nothing can break that covenant. Hallelujah. That is why God was dealing with the Jews. The Jews are so cultured. They know everything about culture. If you want to do a business with a Jewish person, first he doesn't want to do business with you. First he wants to eat with you. And then after that you say, come on, let's do business again. He says, no, let's eat again. And they eat again. Why is the reason why they eat again? Because relationship is more important than money. And when they have done talking and eating and rejoicing together and making friendship and building a bridge, then they go and do business. Because at the end of the day, no matter what happens to this business, is everything just go pear-shaped, the relationship has to still be together. That is a God culture. That is a God culture. Hallelujah. And you and I have inherited that culture. Hallelujah. Here's my point. And that's exactly what I said. It wasn't about math. It was about the covenant that David cut with his father, Jonathan. Hallelujah. Today is Resurrection Day. We are sitting here. We have inherited something that you and I have not done. You and I have not faced that cross. You and I have not taken the cross. You and I went whipped. We didn't take anything. We didn't pay the price. We didn't go through all the agonies and pain. We just inherited the covenant that somebody paid for it in full. Hallelujah. And this is what Easter is all about. This is what we don't celebrate. Somebody's, when we're praying here, Barry says, it's not about the eggs and the rabbits and the bunnies. And everybody said, amen. It's not about bunnies and rabbits and eggs and things. It's about the covenant. It's about the cross of Calvary. Hallelujah. John chapter 3, verse 16, the most famous verse. It says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whoever believes, this is the key word. He says, whoever ever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. God gave his only son, but you and I need to believe. You who have not received Christ Jesus need to believe. Believe and confess in your sins that you are heading for eternal damnation. But today is the day that you and I are set free. The Bible says only believe. Hallelujah. We received the covenant because we believed. We didn't do anything. The Bible says that whosoever believes in him shall have everlasting life. Simple. A simple statement that it was made, but powerful. Hallelujah. God's covenant with Abraham is another one. And this is a really powerful one. Hallelujah. Genesis chapter 15, if you turn with me there. Verse 1. After this, the word of the Lord came to Abraham in a vision. Do not be afraid, Abraham. I am your shield, your very great reward. But Abraham said, Sovereign Lord, what can you give me since I remain childless? And the one who will inherit my estate is Eliezer of Damascus. And Abraham said, you have given me no children, so a servant in my household will be my heir. Then the word of the Lord came to him, verse 4, this man will not be your heir, but the son who is your own flesh and blood will be your heir. He took him outside and he said, look up in the sky and count the stars. If indeed you can count them, then he said, so shall your offspring be. Hallelujah. There is a covenant and the promise that God made. But before he said that, he said, now we're going to do this the way we always do it. And he also said to him, Abraham, and this is the statement. This is the powerful statement that you and I should remember. And Abraham, in chapter verse 6, says, and Abraham believed the Lord, and he accounted it to him for righteousness. Abraham believed everything that the Lord promised him. And God says, that's enough. Hallelujah. But Abraham, in verse 8, says, Sovereign Lord, how can I know that I will gain possession of it? Verse 9, so the Lord said to him, bring me a heifer, a goat, a ram, each 3 years old, along with a dove and a young pigeon. Abraham brought all those to him, cut them in two, and arranged the halves opposite each other. The birds, however, he did not cut in half. Then the birds of the prey came down on the carcasses, and Abraham drove them away. Now here's the key. God was setting the stage for a covenant cutting ceremony. Hallelujah. As it was done in the contemporary cultures of the year, ancient East, biblical as well as the major secular covenant were established by blood. We may think, oh, that's a gory covenant, full of blood, but that's what God does. God requires blood. Hallelujah. And this is the key thing. This is how humble and powerful our God is. The part of this covenant, the inferior party or the lower party, were to walk in between the bleeding pieces of split animals, taking an oath of royalty to his superior. And the oath is this. This is what the covenant says. May the gods so do to me, and more also, as I have done to those animals, if I do not fulfill the terms of this covenant. In other words, death to the person that breaks this covenant. God made a covenant and the punishment was death if you break it. But God in his grace, hallelujah, didn't cut covenant with Abraham. He put him to sleep. He says, Abraham, you're a mere man like you and I. We will fail like Adam failed in the Garden of Eden. When he picked from that fruit, God says, do not take from the fruit of good and evil, the knowledge of good and evil. And Adam picked it up and death came in to the world and sin. And God says, you are not going to do it again. He says, you will go to sleep. I will cut this covenant with myself. Hallelujah. Because God is a God of integrity. God is a covenant God. The Bible says in Psalms, he says, I have placed my word above my own name. His word and his principles are higher than his word. And when he speaks his word, that's it. There is no coming back. That's why when he says, have dominion over the earth, he couldn't get back in there and fix the problem because he's given it to man. He's a spirit. He needed a body to actually dwell on this earth to do the work, but he didn't. Because if he had done it, we would not believe the word in the Bible forever. He would have gone against his own word, and his word will never be the truth. You and I, we can never trust God again. But he stayed. He says, he promised the devil, he says, I'll be back. Arnold Schwarzenegger, I will be back. I will sort this problem out legally, the way I have done it for Ancient of Days. Hallelujah. There is a womb going to be prepared for me. I'm coming. But on and in the fullness of time. Hallelujah. Oh, I love God. That is why you and I can trust God. Turn to your neighbor and says, I don't trust you. No, nudge him. Tell him, I don't trust you. I only trust God. I only trust God. Shake him again and says, I only trust God in you. If you've got God in you, then I trust you. Hallelujah. I don't trust men. I never trust men. Unless men have the fruits. But Jesus said, uncheck them. You will know them by their fruits. Don't follow everybody because he's great. Follow him because he's got fruit in his life. And the fruit is according to this Constitution. For you religious people, it's a Bible. For us kingdom people, it's the Constitution. We abide by the Constitution of the Kingdom of Heaven because we have a King. Hallelujah. Whoa! It's a good day today. It's a great day today. It's a covenant day today. Hallelujah. Oh, I love God. God says, Abraham, you will break this promise, but I will cut this covenant with me because I will not break my own word. And Abraham, God says, Abraham, you've already believed. That's enough. You've already believed. Let me cut this covenant with myself. You can just inherit that covenant. Abraham never cut covenant with God. He inherited God's covenant, hallelujah, to himself. Remember that. That is so powerful. God is a good God, amen? Oh, let me just take a drink. You can write a story about this. You can make a movie out of this. Hallelujah. They're making movies about Paul now. Oh, hallelujah. God in his mercy and grace put Abraham to sleep. Why? Because God knew that Abraham, like you and I, would break this covenant, resulting in what? Death. Just like Adam disobeying God in the garden, God cut the covenant by himself. He walked between the split animal pieces by himself. Hallelujah. Psalm 138 verse 2. God says, Abraham, you're a madman. You will break this covenant. But I am God. I can go and never go back on my word because I have placed my word above myself. He exalts his own word, his own authority above himself. Hallelujah. That is the humble God that you and I serve. Amen. Hallelujah. John chapter 3 verse 16, the very powerful words that we always quote with fire and passion. Abraham simply believed and inherited the covenant that God cut by himself. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son so that you and I, when we believe, shall inherit the kingdom of heaven. You and I were like Abraham. We just believe. We believe, we confess, and we receive the grace and the blessing of God to accept this covenant that he cut on the cross on the day. Hallelujah. Oh, are you excited about today? I am excited about today. And every day we'll just stay excited about it. Amen. Because it's such a wonderful covenant. Just like Abraham didn't have to walk between the blood of the animals, but he had inherited the covenant because he simply believed and obeyed God. You know, picture this. Paraphrasing now, I'm just paraphrasing all this story. God the Father, God the Holy Spirit, and God the Son having a conversation. He says, we need someone to go down and fix this earth up. And Jesus said, I'll go. The word says, I'll go. And God says, yep, word, you can go. And the Holy Spirit says, I'll wait till he's clean up the vessels for us to go move in. Then I'll go down. And he is God, the Holy Spirit, and Jesus having a conversation, having a board meeting. He says, Adam's messed up in the garden. I need someone to go down and fix this up. The Father calls in the Ministry for Communication, Angel Gabriel, and says to him, Gabriel, go down there and prepare a vessel for me. And Gabriel is the Minister for Communication in the Kingdom of Heaven. Hallelujah. And he goes down and he sees Mary. He says, Mary, God is in need of your womb. Hallelujah. You know what Mary says? Mary says, I am Lord's servant. Let everything you've said happen to me. Mary becomes pregnant by the power of the Holy Spirit. And God formed a vessel called Jesus. And he said, you shall call him Jesus. And out of that vessel, I will come and live in that vessel. I am Christ. Jesus is the vessel that carries Christ. Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. God is now legal inside the womb of Mary. Oh, somebody should write and create a movie like that. Hallelujah. Prophet Isaiah saw it and he got excited. He says, I saw something. He says, I see. Oh, he said, I see something like a God living in man. He said, you would not believe my report, Isaiah says. He says, I see Emmanuel. Im means in, man means mankind. Elohim means, El means Elohim. He says, I see God in man, inside a womb. God is here with us. Hallelujah. And he came down and paid that price. And today is the resurrection day that you and I celebrate that covenant. God did everything according to his own word, according to his own will and purpose, and did it right. Never went back against his own word. Hallelujah. And he walks in. Oh, this is the day. You know, nobody makes a movie about what Jesus did in those days when he went into the pits of hell. Everybody talks about resurrection, and we've seen the movies on the Passion of Christ, and we've seen all other movies about Jesus. But let me tell you about this movie. Hallelujah. Jesus walks in, Christ Jesus. Jesus died on the cross, but Christ didn't die. Jesus just gave up the ghost, and Christ left the body and went down into the Hades and Sheol and hell and walks in. And walks right into the chamber where the enemy, where the devil was, and he sees Lucifer sitting there, reigning with bluff. And he walks in there. And the devil says, you can't come in here. You have to be dead to come in here. Jesus says, I am dead. There's a body upstairs waiting for me. I'm here to get fix up some things. He says, but you can't come in here. You have to be full of sin to come in here. Jesus says, the body upstairs is full of sin. That's what it killed it. Hallelujah. The body upstairs is full of sin. That's why he died, and it's still waiting for me up there. I'm here to grab some stuff. Walks in, grabs the keys. Have you got a pair of keys in there? Grabs the keys of the enemy, of Lucifer. He says, and he looks at it and he goes, death, hell, grave. Great, I've got it. And he says to Lucifer, I'll be back. Goes in, walks into the cell, kicks open the door. Abraham's in there, says, come on, Abraham, let's go. Hallelujah. Moses is in there, says, come on, Moses, let's go. Paul says, oh, man, Lord, we've been waiting for you. David says, praise God, you're here. Come on, he says, come on. And the Bible says, and he led them like a train and presented them to the Father. Hallelujah. And then he says, I got to get back. I haven't finished yet. And angel Gabriel says, but you can't go down there. You need a body. He says, I've got one on ice. Hallelujah. It's waiting for me down there. Walks back into the tomb, gets into the body, puts it on, and resurrection power, hallelujah. Today is the day that you and I celebrate what Christ did on planet Earth. That's a good movie. Nobody makes a movie like that, I'm telling you. So write it down. That's a good script. We're going to create a movie like this on what Jesus actually did. We know he died. We know he raised again. But what did he do in between? Hallelujah. I like to see things like that. I just, hallelujah, that's it. Set the captives free. Devil is sitting there, he says, I'll be back. He did the Arnold Schwarzenegger on the devil and walks out. That's how powerful you and I and our God is, hallelujah. Write that script down and write a movie about it, hallelujah. I'm going to finish here. The Passover was the most sacred feast of Jesus of the Jewish religious year. It commemorates the final plague on Egypt when the firstborn of the Egyptians died and the Israelites were spared because of the blood of the lamb that was sprinkled on their doorpost. The lamb was then roasted, eaten with the unleavened bread. God's command was that throughout the generations to come, the feast would be celebrated. Today is our communion Sunday. It's our first day of the week, first day of the month, sorry. It's April Fool's Day. God has a sense of humor. And it's our communion today. So can I please ask the ushers to prepare the communion, please? Thank you, Dave. It causes us to remember our Lord's death and the resurrection, to look at his glorious return in the future. Luke chapter 22, verse 19 to 21. During the Last Supper, a Passover celebration, Jesus took a loaf of bread and gave thanks to God. As he broke it and gave it to his disciples, he said, "This is my body, given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." In the same way, after the supper, he took the cup, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood, which is poured out for you." This is the covenant that you and I partake in this to remember the finished work of Calvary, what God did on that cross, what Jesus did on that cross. Hallelujah. Paul explains further in Corinthians chapter 1, 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 27 to 29. Therefore, whoever eats the bread or drinks of the cup in an unworthy manner will be guilty of sinning against the body and the blood of the Lord. A man ought to examine himself before he eats of the bread and drinks of the cup. For everyone who eats and drinks without recognizing the body of the Lord eats and drinks judgment on himself. Hallelujah. Why is God saying that? God didn't want this to become a ritual, a dead ritual. God wanted us to always do this to remember the covenant that he cut. And communion is a powerful institution of that covenant. Communion and the blood of Jesus. This bread may be just a little biscuit from Coles, but there's a power behind the significance of the communion where we are taking today. If you believe that this thing is going to heal you, if you believe that Christ died on the cross for you, if you believe that all your sins have been paid for, then this piece of bread from Coles has a lot more to it than just that. And Jesus said, do not do this. Paul says that. He says, don't do this without examining your hearts. We partake in this because we believe. We partake in this because we understand covenant that Jesus had cut on the cross. We understand the pain and agony that we went through. Hallelujah. This cup is just the grape juice from Coles, but it has got more power and more meaning behind it than just the ritualistic habit that people do these days. He says, do it as often as you gather together, not just in church, but also in your house, at your workplace, with your friends, having fellowship at the coffee shop, wherever you are. Cut covenant with each other. It's a powerful thing. In keeping with Paul's instructions, we should look at ourselves before eating the bread and drinking the cup. Before you drink the cup and eat the bread, please pray. Pray to God by yourself at your own time, understanding that this is a powerful covenant. The final covenant that God has cut. Nothing else comes after that. The blood of Jesus is the final work on the cross. Hallelujah. If you're sick today, if you're going through some stuff today, pray. Break this bread. Take this bread with you. Take this cup and pray for your family. Pray for your loved ones. Pray for your marriage. Pray for your schools. Pray for those that are saying things against you. Pray for your enemies. Hallelujah. If you're carrying some stuff in your heart this morning, release it. Get rid of it. God's already done that on the cross. Get rid of it today. For whenever you eat, you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 26. Powerful statement. Paul established that and wants us as a church to always do this in remembrance of Jesus. Hallelujah. Has everybody got their cup? We're going to pray. Can I ask the music team up, please? Or just a piano player. Let's take them some time. Let's spend some time quietly. Let everybody close their eyes, please. Don't look around. God's going to do some work. The Holy Spirit's here to do his work, and we must respect that. Hallelujah. Father, we honor you. We thank you. Lord, we remember everything that you've done on the cross. We remember the covenant. Lord, we did not have to go through that. We did not have to go through the weeping and the spitting and the slapping and all the words, all the curses that were thrown on Jesus. We didn't have to go through that. You did it on your own. You cut that covenant with yourself. You are Jesus. You are God. You did it with your son. Just like you did it, oh God, with Abraham. You cut that covenant on your own. It shows us your grace and your love and your mercy. Lord, we understand. All of us in this room understand covenant. We respect it, we honor it. And as we partake together, Father, Lord, we thank you that this bread is just a bread. But Father, behind the significance of this is the power of the Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit, I pray that let today be a wonderful, powerful experience for those that have not done this before. Father, we open our hearts and we lay everything, Father, if it's, Lord, offense against people, unforgiveness, oh God, against people, anger, things that people have done to us, unforgiveness, Father. Father, we lay it at the foot of the cross this morning. Each and every person, man, women, and children in this building, we lay it down right now at the foot of the cross, and we ask you, Lord, to forgive us. Forgive our trespasses as we forgive those who have trespassed against us, Father. And lead us not into temptation, O God, but deliver us from the hands of the evil one. Lord, this is your prayer, and we're quoting this prayer today. Father, you died on Jesus, when you died on the cross, oh God, you said, I commit my spirit into your hands. And Father, today we commit our spirit into your hands. Look after our spirit so that, Father, when we go, when the time comes when we go, that, Father, the power of death and sting shall not have any effect on us. God, we thank you that you have destroyed the work of the enemy. You have destroyed the power of death and sting of death, oh God. Oh death, where is your sting? No more upon the lives of our people. I thank you, God, that those that have not accepted you, that have not known you, Lord, I pray this morning that they will give your heart, their hearts to you, Father. Because that is the only place, oh God, that is the only place where their hearts will be taken care of, that will be looked after, oh God. Father, I pray that any diseases that is upon the bodies of your people this morning, Lord, we break the power of disease and infirmities. Lord, you've taken that on the cross. You've taken all of it on the cross. Everything. There's no more, Father. There's no more sin in the lives of your people, Father. There's no more sickness in the lives of your people, Father. Today we received, oh God, the promise that you did on the cross. The physical work was done on the cross, but today we receive the promise, oh God. Father, let healing come upon your people, Father. Every cancer in everybody, Father, every diabetes, oh God, every sickness of the heart, Father, heart problems, oh God. Father, I pray by the power of the Holy Spirit, oh God, this morning, Father, that they shall be shut, Lord, set free, Father. Everything has been cleared, done, oh God. Thank you, Father, that it has been paid for in full, that everything is working according to how you created it and purposed it. Oh God, the vessels that are carrying the presence of the Holy Spirit, this is the earthen vessel that you talked about. Father, I thank you. Each and every person here has a need. And Lord, I thank you that this morning you are meeting every need of every person in this building today. Thank you, God, as we partake. We bring to remembrance, oh God, the covenant that you cut for us. Father, we proclaim it, we remember it, we claim it as our own, Father. We give you praise, we give you honor, we give you glory. Thank you for your broken body, Father. Hallelujah. You may partake when you're ready.